Turning God's Word this morning to John chapter 6. The sermon this morning and the sermon tonight, the applicatory sermon, will be looking at two passages out of this chapter. This morning we'll be looking at verses 35 and 51. We'll not be reading all of John 6 this morning, but a good portion of it. So we'll start by reading the first 15 verses of John 6, where there is the record of the feeding of the 5,000, plus women and children, by Jesus with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. John 6. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Well, what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And then Jesus sent them away, and he sent his disciples away. And now we come to verse 22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save that one wherein his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And now we jump down to verse 51, which is part of the text that we consider this morning, where Jesus says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And thus far we read God's word, and we go back as well to verse 35, which is the text this morning. "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Let's again come before God in prayer. Father, give us bread, the bread of life, our Lord Jesus Christ. In the word that we hear this morning, as thy servant proclaims it, evermore give us that bread we need for our souls, that we may be filled and we may be satisfied in the knowledge of Him and what He has done. Give us understanding this morning, Father, so that even as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we may do so with understanding and with faith, trusting in Jesus Christ alone for all that we need. Grant strength to thy servant that as he proclaims this word, that he may do so clearly, and that he may do so as a faithful servant of thine. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the words of the text that we consider this morning in verse 35 and then in 51, notice first of all the timing of that. Those words were given the day after Jesus performed this amazing miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. That feeding of the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, that created quite a buzz among the people, among the multitude that followed Jesus there by the Sea of Galilee. We read this morning that Jesus had compassion upon this multitude. He taught them. He healed the sick. And then after they were with Him most of the day, it's evening. And what will they do for food? Well, Jesus provided. Out of the 5 loaves and 2 fish, there was a great miracle that He performed. There was a multiplication of that, so that everyone there was fed and they were filled, and there were 12 baskets that were left over. What's important for us to understand here is the response of the people to this. The crowd is filled with great hope. They look at Jesus and they see the one who can give them health and the one who can give them wealth, the one who can deliver them from Rome, the one who is their ideal and perfect king. And so they want to crown Him their king. But Jesus knows that their thoughts, their desires are carnal in nature. And so Jesus sends them away. He sends His disciples into a boat so that they can go across the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum. And Jesus Himself goes up into a mountain to pray. But now the next day, the multitude is looking for Jesus, and they find Him. And now it's at that time that Jesus speaks the words of the text that we considered this morning. Tonight we'll consider the word of admonishment that He gives to them in verse 27 when He says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed." But now Jesus, He also, after admonishing them, He also gives explanation to this miracle, saying the purpose of it is not for you to see and know that I can give you all that your heart desires of the things of this earth. But instead the purpose of the miracle is to show that I am, Jesus is, the bread of life. Now that instruction is important for us this morning as we partake of the Lord's Supper. Now, let's not get it wrong. Let's not think this morning that Jesus has in mind the Lord's Supper when he says, I am the bread of life. That's not at all the idea. Yet, when we look at what Jesus says, it does give us understanding of the significance and the meaning of the bread of the Lord's Supper. And that's why it's a nice passage, a good passage for us to look at in connection with the Lord's Supper. Bread is one of the elements of that supper. And so we see this morning why it is that when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he didn't give us fish in the Lord's Supper, or he didn't give us candy to use in the Lord's Supper, or he didn't give us popcorn to use in the Lord's Supper, but instead it's bread, because bread pictures something important that teaches us about who Jesus is and the work that he has done. It teaches us that we cannot live apart from him. So that in mind, we consider this morning those words of Jesus, I am the bread of life. We notice first the idea of this, secondly the eating, the activity here, and then finally the blessing that comes. Jesus uses the figure of bread here in the text. He says, I am the bread of life. Now, Jesus speaking of bread here does not come out of the blue. It doesn't come out of nowhere. But instead, it comes out of the context. It comes out of the very history here. And there are two things that Jesus has in mind in the context as he speaks of himself as the bread of life. The first, of course, is the miracle that Jesus performed the day before this. The multiplication of the bread so that that multitude of 5,000 men, not only ate, but they were all filled and there was leftover as well. So Jesus, out of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, now gives explanation to that miracle and explanation to the significance of the bread in that miracle. So that's the first thing that Jesus has in mind here. The second thing that Jesus has in mind is that the Jews bring up, in his discussion with them, manna. The kids in first through third grade, remember we just talked about manna in catechism. And you'll remember what the meaning of the word manna is. You remember? What is it? Because when that manna fell on the ground, it covered the earth almost like snow. And the people of Israel went out and they saw it on the ground and they said, what is it? Well, it was bread from heaven. Bread that God sent down to feed his people the entire time that they were in the wilderness until he brought them to the promised land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. The Jews bring up manna in their discussion with Jesus. Why did they do that? Well, here's why. Jesus, in the context, called them to believe in him because he performed the work of God. They wanted Jesus, however, to give them another sign. And here's why they bring up manna. The sign that they wanted from Jesus is for Jesus to do what he did the day before again. And really what they're saying is, Jesus, we want you to do this every day. Give us bread. Give us food every day. Then we will believe that you are the Christ, that prophet, that Savior that should come. Give us another sign. Manna, food, bread, every day. Do what you did yesterday. Do it again for us now for breakfast. Well, Jesus, as he responds to that, he does correct something that they said wrongly. They said that that manna came from Moses. And Jesus says, no, it didn't come from Moses, but instead that manna came from the Father. And now he points that out to show, now the Father has given the true bread. He's given the fulfillment of that manna, that bread that God gave to his people in the Old Testament. You don't need bread. Jesus is teaching them, you need me. So that's what Jesus is doing here. In the context then of that miracle, in the context of the Jews bringing up manna, and the manna that God provided every day for His people in the Old Testament, Jesus is using that bread, that manna, to teach about Himself. And He's not saying that He is literally a piece of bread. When Jesus says, I am the bread of life, He's not saying, I am bread. But instead, Jesus is teaching the significance of that bread that He multiplied the day before and the significance of the manna. Well, why bread? And then along with that, why bread in the Lord's Supper? Why not fish? Why doesn't Jesus say, I am the fish of life? Why does He say, I'm the bread of life? And then the Lord's Supper, why nothing else? Why not popcorn or candy or any other kind of food that there is? Well, we understand and know that bread is a staple of one's diet. We know that bread signifies all that is needed, especially when you look back at manna that was provided by God for the people in the wilderness. That was their only source of sustenance there in the desert, and God provided that for them day after day, and it gave them everything that they needed, all of the nutrients that they needed to live and to survive in that desert. And we know that bread is important for us too. So that even if someone has a gluten allergy or gluten intolerance, still they want bread and eat bread, they'll eat gluten-free bread made out of different kinds of flour because we know that bread is important for our diet. This bread then stands for all that the body needs on a daily basis to live. Now, what does that teach us about Jesus? Well, this is what it teaches us about Jesus. Just as we need bread to live physically, so also we need Jesus Christ to live spiritually. Jesus Christ is necessary for spiritual life. The bread of life refers to spiritual life, life there. It's living bread that gives life with God. What is that life? It's the fellowship and communion that we have with God. But also it's the spiritual life that has worked in us. For us to have spiritual life within us in which we know God and we love God and we know His love for us, we need Jesus Christ. To have fellowship with God. To have friendship with God. We need Jesus Christ. To have that for all eternity. Now why is it that we need Jesus Christ? Well, we need Jesus Christ because of the work that He would accomplish, and He did accomplish. It's the work that He did in giving His life. Verse 51 speaks of that. And the bread that I will give is My flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. There it is. This is why we say we need Jesus Christ for our spiritual lives. We need Jesus Christ to have life and fellowship with God. He alone is the one who can satisfy the great need of our souls. And the great need of our souls is to be delivered from the guilt and the punishment of our sin. That's nothing new, is it? That's the same word of the gospel we always hear and we always need to hear. But see and understand that this is the daily bread that we need. That's part of this. Daily. Just like the people of Israel needed that manna daily so that they could live and walk and travel there in the desert on their way to the promised land. So also daily we need Jesus Christ. That's what this bread, this figure of bread emphasizes. Daily, we need Jesus Christ. Why? Because of our sin. Because of our sin. And there are times that really hits home, doesn't it? Certainly it should for us this morning, after examining ourselves. Even as we prayed that this morning as well, there may be new sins we saw. And there will constantly, we'll need that. To see new sins in our lives that we haven't seen before, that our eyes have been darkened to by our own sinfulness and the blindness of that sin. Or maybe we've seen the same sins we've always committed. And they were there again. They were there again. And the only answer to that is Jesus Christ. We need Him daily. As we battle against sin, we need Him daily as well to strengthen us so that we would repent of our sin and we would turn to God and obey God in our lives so that there would be change that takes place. But daily we need Him because forgiveness is found alone in Him. The question for us this morning is, do we know, do we come this morning understanding how much we need Jesus? Do we understand that He is the bread of life that alone satisfies for our sin? Do we understand and know that daily we need the cross of Jesus Christ, and that's why we should end the day and must end the day confessing our sin and crying out for pardon? Did you do that this week? Every day this week? Do we understand that to be without the bread of life is devastating? It's worse than to be without food. Now, most of us can't imagine being without food because our kitchens, our refrigerators, our cupboards are full. That would be awful to be without food, but it's worse to be without Jesus. That's what this figure tells us this morning. The third thing we see here when we look at the idea of this is, how is it that Jesus can give us this spiritual life? We need to look at the words here carefully. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." That's not just a sentence with a subject and a verb there so that we say, well, that's all that Jesus is saying. It's bread of life. That's the focus. No, the "I am" is important too because it tells us about who Jesus is. So you just take the "I am." Remember those words, that name of God? That was the name that God revealed to Moses at the burning bush when He sent Moses to deliver His people out of the land of Egypt. And He tells Moses, after Moses asks, "Who should I say sent me?" "Tell them, I am that I am hath sent you," or "the I am hath sent you." It's that beautiful name of Jehovah God. It gives us the meaning of that name, Jehovah, telling us that God is sovereign, He's self-sufficient, He's eternal, and He's the unchanging God who loves His people. He loves His people faithfully. What Jesus does here in the text is He takes this name to Himself. "I am the bread of life." That's the significance of the seven "I am" statements of Jesus. He's taking this name to Himself, and it fits, doesn't it? He's Jesus. Remember the meaning of that name. Jehovah saves. Jehovah saves. He is the "I am." What we see here is that the bread of life is able to save us. It is everything that we need because the bread of life is God Himself. Jesus is God. That's what He's saying here when He says, "I am the bread of life." Jesus is not merely a man. He is a man. Fully and completely man. He's like us in all things as men and women, as people, as human beings. Of course, He's without sin. But as a human being, He's like us in all things. Yet that's not the end of the story about Jesus. There's more about Him. Not only is He fully and completely man, He is fully and completely God. And that's why it is that He is the bread of life. And that's what Jesus is saying here. "I came down from heaven. You want to talk about manna, bread coming down from heaven? Well, here I am. I am the bread come down from heaven. The Son of God become flesh for the redemption and the salvation of my people." Jesus is the bread of life because He is God and man. And that's why when we look at the bread of life who hung upon the cross of Calvary, we know that our redemption was accomplished because of who He is. And the very bread that the people saw the day before, and the manna of which they spoke, and the bread that we will see in a little while here when we partake of the Lord's Supper, all of that points to Jesus. Now, He is the bread of life. He atoned for our sins by His death on the cross, and because of that, we're reconciled to God. We have life and peace with Him.
But the passage not only speaks then of Jesus and who He is and what He has done, but the passage also says that those who know Jesus eat Him. There's the eating, the activity of eating that is spoken of. We read of that in verse 51, where Jesus says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever." Jesus speaks of the eating of this bread. What's the idea of this eating? Well, again, we can go to the physical for a moment. We know that if earthly bread is going to profit us, if earthly food is going to profit us, we must eat it. You don't profit from smelling it. You don't profit from looking at it. You don't go home for your dinner this afternoon and just look at it and smell it. You eat it. You put it in your mouth. You chew it, and your body digests it. And from that, your body receives strength. It receives energy as it converts that food into energy for daily life. Well, just as eating is necessary physically, so eating is necessary spiritually. Now, that doesn't mean that there's some miraculous thing that happens that when we eat a piece of bread, then somehow spiritually we are blessed by that physical bread and the digesting of it, or in the drinking of the wine, that somehow we are blessed miraculously through the drinking of that physical wine. So if there's a change that happens, something that happens within us mysteriously and miraculously, wine somehow blesses our souls. That, of course, is the old heir of the Roman Catholic Church. That the physical eating, physical drinking somehow blesses us spiritually. Now, the idea of the text in the Lord's Supper is that you must eat this living bread spiritually. Well, how do we do that? Well, what the text says is that this eating is the activity of faith, and it uses two words to describe that: coming to Jesus and then believing in Him. That's what verse 35 speaks of. Coming to Him and believing on Him. Well, then the question comes, what does it mean to come to Jesus? It doesn't mean to come forward and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, opening up your heart to Him. As many would say today, that's not what it is to come to Jesus. But coming to Jesus is coming to Him with a spiritual hunger. It's coming to Jesus knowing that I am empty of myself. I am empty in my sin, and thus I need Him. I come to Him because there's nowhere else to go with my sin. Not to myself, not to anyone else. I come to Him. Coming to Jesus, we can say, is this. It's coming with repentance and faith. It's repenting of sin and believing that everything that we need for our salvation is found alone in Him. Not trying to cover up our sins. That's not it. Not like Adam and Eve. After they had sinned, they tried to cover themselves with the fig leaves. We can be very good at that. We could be thinking here this morning, well, of course, I need Jesus, Jesus alone. But do our actions, do our lives show that we come to Him in this way, confessing, exposing, wanting to see all of our sin, and then bringing that to God and bringing that to the cross and believing that the only answer to all of that sin, not just big ones, all of that sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. Coming is repenting and believing in Him as my only Savior. And then eating the living bread is to embrace Him with a believing heart. It's to have knowledge and confidence that Jesus Christ has paid for all of my sins by His death. It's the certainty of that. The certainty of that finished work, and the certainty then that I have of the forgiveness of sins and life forever with God in Jesus Christ. To eat the bread of life is resting in Him. It's embracing Him. It's receiving Him. It's feeding on Him with a believing heart. That's the question for us this morning. Did we come this morning with that hunger, that thirst, knowing our sin, confessing our sin, coming to the end of ourselves, knowing that everything that we need is in Jesus Christ? Are we laying hold on Him, embracing Him, trusting in Him and Him alone for deliverance from our sin? This is done when, with a spiritual hunger, we turn to the Word of God, when we pray to God, when we come to worship. And that's done when we come to the Lord's Supper in this way as well. Not just out of habit or custom or this is just what we do. But coming with broken and believing hearts, confessing that He alone saves me from my sin. And so that's how we come, that's how we worship, that's how we partake. Coming and believing in Him. How is that possible for us to do? We don't have the ability of ourselves. We have no ability to come to Christ and no ability to believe in Him ourselves. Coming and believing are necessary, for the text says that those who come shall never hunger and those who believe shall never thirst. It's necessary, but that doesn't mean that we can do it. And that's what so many would teach today. They would teach, well, because it's necessary, that must mean we're able to do it. We have the ability in ourselves because we have a free will and there's some good that's still within us. And man then can come to Jesus by the exercise of his own free will. No. Just because it's necessary does not mean that we have the ability. We do not have the ability. We do not have the ability because of our hard-heartedness. We don't have the ability because of the rebelliousness that is found within us. And that's what is so amazing about the fact that this morning, as a body of believers, we come here in this way with the humility of knowing our sin and the believing hearts that everything we need is found in Jesus Christ. It's not because we've done it. It's because God has done this. The reality is that no one would come and no one would eat of himself. There is no sinner who is naturally hungry for Jesus Christ. Now, all sinners are hungry. I'm not talking about physically either, spiritually. They have a hunger. These Jews had a hunger. And in fact, they hungered for Jesus, but for the wrong reason. Not because He could save them from their sin. They hungered for Jesus because what He could give for their bellies and what it is that they could make their lives easier. Ah, they wanted that kind of Jesus. They hungered for that. So hungry were they that they searched all over Galilee the next day to find Him again. And we'll talk more about that tonight. But that's not hunger for Christ. That's not hunger for the bread of life. Understand, the situation for us is hopeless if it depended upon ourselves to come to Jesus. But it's not hopeless. It is possible to come and believe because God draws His own. That's verse 44 of John 6. We didn't read that earlier, but notice what we read there. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. God draws us. How does God draw us? He does that by giving us the gift of faith. He does that by working in our hearts, uniting us to Jesus Christ and implanting Christ's life in our hearts. And thus He works in us the fruit of believing. All those that God chooses, all those that God redeems, He also draws. Understand how God does that. His drawing is not like when you're a two-year-old, you have to force into a car seat because that two-year-old doesn't want to leave the store, or that two-year-old doesn't want to leave the house, or that two-year-old doesn't want to leave their cousin's house because they were having so much fun. And so you got to drag them out to the van kicking and screaming and forcibly press them into their car seat and work really hard to, at the right time, snap the buckles. God doesn't draw us in that way, so that kicking and screaming, that child is taken in the van home, or that child is taken wherever that child is going to go. That's not how God takes us to heaven, kicking and screaming. But he draws us powerfully and effectually, changing our wills so that this is what we desire. We desire to be near unto him. We love him and we desire to serve him and we want to dwell with him forevermore. And so that's the way that God works in us. And that explains the hunger and thirst we have today. Did you come hungry this morning? Hungry for the bread of life, hungry for Jesus Christ. Did you come here to feed on him this morning in the Word and in the sacrament? Well, praise be to God because he worked that hunger and he worked that thirst in you. And in fact, if you don't come with that hunger and thirst, if you're here for the wrong reason, then the Word of God says to you this morning, don't partake of the Lord's Supper because that's not the way to come and that's not the way to partake. That's how serious it is. We partake as those who know that we need Jesus and everything we need is found in him. But now there's a great blessing. And the great blessing is, first of all, you will never hunger and never thirst. The blessing that those who come to Jesus and believe in him will experience is that you will never hunger and never thirst. Now, the idea, of course, is not physically. Oh, you're going to be hungry over and over again, day after day. But spiritually, you will be fully satisfied is the idea. We leave here from our worship filled, fully satisfied. Jesus Christ gives to us everything that we need. We have that. We experience that in this life, and we will experience that in heaven as well. Understand what that means. That means that you and I can never be satisfied in anything else but Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. Your spiritual hunger can never be satisfied by anything else. Not by a wrong view of Jesus. It's part of what Jesus is saying to these Jews here. You will not be satisfied in me just giving to you bread every day like God sent the manna from heaven. Remember the people of Israel? Were they satisfied with that? Nope. They complained. They still wanted the good food of Egypt. It wasn't enough for them. They complained to God about it. So it's not about that. Jesus is really saying, if I provided food for you every day, you still wouldn't be happy with it. You always want something better. If I provided bread, then you would want steak. They want something more. That's the way we are. The things of this earth don't satisfy. Nothing in this world satisfies. Attention for ourselves doesn't satisfy. Having the things that our hearts long for, none of that satisfies. The only thing that satisfies is Jesus Christ. When we come to him, when we believe in him, then we find this great satisfaction. And then along with that, the passage says, you will live forever. That's verse 51. You will live forever. What a great blessing. It is true that everyone who ate of the manna in the wilderness died. It is true that everyone who ate of that bread there by the Sea of Galilee, that bread that Jesus multiplied, it is true that every one of them died. Physical bread and the things of this life do not give us everlasting life. It puts it into its proper perspective. But those who eat the bread of life will live forever. Not here on this earth, but this is heavenly life. It's the victory that we have over death. Yes, we will die, but now, because of the death of Jesus Christ, death is the entryway into heaven itself. We will die. We will experience death, but our souls will be taken to be with God forever, and one day our bodies will be raised. That's the profit of belonging to Christ, of having Jesus, who is the bread of life, everlasting life with him. What hope and comfort there is for us. We think of a 40-year-old man who suddenly died in this week. And we're reminded of our own mortality. What do we need? The bread of life, our Lord Jesus Christ. May we be filled, may we be satisfied in him. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for thy word, thankful for the hope and comfort that it gives to us. And now in the knowledge of Jesus as the bread of life, may we partake of the sacrament this morning and may we be filled. Father, we come empty. Fill us by thy Son, Jesus Christ. And so bless us as we partake and strengthen our faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.